This show is sponsored by the Crummy Cookie Dough Company, top-notch humans making top-notch edible cookie dough. Warning, listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to I Am Everything with your host, Shion Atown.
Welcome to I'm Everything on CKMS 102.7. I'm your host, Shion Atown, and even though it's my show, you know, I'm just here for the ride. Today, who's hosting the show? What's your name? What do you do? And what's your social insurance number?
Wow, I can't believe I'm hosting the show. This is so exciting. My name's Chase O'Donnell. I'm a comedian. And what's my social media?
Social insurance number.
Oh, my social insurance number. I'd rather give my social media.
Social media. What is it?
Chase_O'Donnell. Very simple.
You know, it's funny, this social insurance number thing. I was thinking about it. It's like, you know, how does that work in terms of, like, do they just, like, eventually they're going to run out of numbers, right? Eventually they're going to be like, you know what, there's too many, like, how do they not run out of numbers yet?
They can never run out of numbers.
So whenever someone passes away, they're like, okay, this one will go to this guy here. It has his name on it. Like, do they have it already set up? Like, you have to wait until someone dies so we can give you this one.
Actually, I don't know. I thought, don't you have to, like, apply for a number?
Do you? Maybe. I don't know.
I just, one day, my mom told me.
Yeah.
My number and had me memorize it.
You know, it's funny.
I don't know how it came to me, but I have it.
It's funny. There's those people that were like, we're not wearing a mask. We're not going to be told by the government what to do. Oh, sorry. Here's my social insurance number for you.
Yeah.
It's like, you're already being run by the government. Do you understand what you're saying? But anyways. So,
exactly.
So I learned about you from Dr. Drew. I mean, I've heard about you before because I listened to Christina's podcast as well. But,
oh, nice.
You know, the Dr. Drew, I love Dr. Drew. You know, he's like, I wish he was like my second dad. You know, I'm a hypochondriac. So I feel like my childhood would have been a little bit easier if I had him as a second dad. Be like, Dad, I have this wrong with me. Oh, well, you're fine. Instead.
Yeah, I know. After I did the show, everyone was like, Chase, you just had like a free therapy session.
Hmm.
I was like, yeah, I did. It just calms you down. It's like, don't worry about anything.
Yeah. Well,
you're good.
Well, my dad, my real dad, when I'd say, oh, I think I have cancer. He's like, yeah, you probably do. I was like,
oh,
cool. Like, you just put it.
Do?
Yeah. He's like, you just put it in my head. He's like, yeah, you probably do. I was like, cool. Good talk. I'm going to go cry now.
My friend is a neurosurgeon, and yeah. I was just with her this weekend. And she was saying, like, she's always doing, like, brain tumor surgery and all these things. And I'm like, if I was around that all the time, I would assume that I had a brain tumor. Like, it's
contagious.
It would just normalize it, being like, oh, this happens a lot. And that, I don't know. I'm a hypochondriac.
That's crazy. So she does that as a job.
Yes. Isn't that wild?
That's crazy. Yeah. One time I met this guy from Switzerland, and he was like, so what do you do for work? He's like, oh, I just work on brains. I was like, that's intense. He's like, nah, I mean, it's pretty easy. I was like, what? How's that easy at all? He's like, it, you get used to it. You understand how it works. I was like,
yeah, she said you get used to it because she has to do a lot of fingers up the butt.
Oh, interesting.
Said it just becomes your job.
Right.
Every day. Yeah.
That'd be interesting to, like, look at a brain and know, like, every human has that inside their head. And, like, wouldn't she start looking at, so, you know, this is a funny story because I interviewed someone who works on dead bodies, right? She's a young, like, 20-year-old, works on dead bodies, all this
heard
stuff.
Heard of those people.
Yes. Yes. And I was like, do you ever just look at people and think, okay, you know what, everyone's disposable? Because she's seen, like, you know, every age, and she knows what's inside us all, right? So I wonder if your friend looks at people and said, oh, like, I know what's inside your head. Like, I know, like I've seen your brain before, right? So like she knows that everyone's kind of like running just on this thing.
Yeah, especially too, because I'm like, ooh, essential oils.
Yeah.
This stuff. And she's like, eye roll. Like, that is not how it works.
Yeah.
And you just like, and all that like positive thinking and all those healing through vitamins. She's like, okay, this isn't real.
Yeah. See, we like us normal people is like thinking about, oh, what should we do next weekend? And she's like, well, I could tell you what's in your brain. I could tell you how it works. I could tell you all that, And you're like, okay. Cool.
I wish I had gotten into neurosurgery.
Yeah. I feel like they make a really good living as well. But I mean, they can't go to work drunk or hungover unless you're Dr. Death. Then that's a whole different story. So yeah, to bring it back around. Yes. I heard you on Dr. Drew, and that guy is like, because he came up like, his name came up a lot in conversation while COVID was going on. And they're like, you know, some people would be like, oh, that Dr. Drew, he's on CNN or whatever talking. I was like, hey, you don't talk about Dr. Drew, okay? Wait till I leave the room, okay? He's a gem and he's an icon, and I wish I could meet him. But, you know, me and my partner, we just always talk about how great he is. But you were on the show, and I just liked that chemistry that you guys had going. And when he was, like, diagnosing you and also talking about, like, toilet seat covers and you shouldn't use it, I was like, okay, this is why I like his show, right? But
thank you so much. I was so nervous because I too am a big fan of Dr. Drew. So it's just good to hear that, because I was freaking out in the chair next to him.
Yeah. And
so I'm glad it came off well.
How was that like? What was that like talking to him about what you're like basically getting a free session from him?
Well, I wish that I had, because when I'm talking to, like Dr. Drew and celebrities, I'm like, my brain stops, stops working, and nothing comes to mind. Mm. So he's like, what do you want to ask me? And I'm like, do you have to use a toilet seat cover? Like nothing could come to my mind.
Yeah.
And I just wish I had like written out exactly what I would have liked to ask Dr. Drew, because in the moment you just like freeze.
Yeah.
Nothing. My brain just stops functioning.
That's
back to neurosurgeons. Maybe help me out.
You're like, I have a little glitch going on here. Do I just reboot? Do I just find the blue screen somewhere? So he was like the same as what you see on TV, eh?
Oh my gosh. Yes. And so nice. Yeah. So nice. And like made me feel super comfortable. And love that he's into musical theater, you know? Yeah. That's a big plus for me.
Yeah. And, you know, we'll touch on your musical theater history, but for people who don't know about the toilet seat thing, what was he saying about that?
Well, I asked at public bathrooms, a lot of them, they give you like sheet covers that you can put down on the toilet. And I asked, like, does that really do anything? Like, is that really something I need to do? Because I do it, but like, what an extra step.
Right.
And he said no, unless you have like sores.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about anything.
You're like, oh, interesting. This changes everything.
Except since that conversation, I have still been using seat covers.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it's like in LA, but I can only imagine what the washrooms there look like.
Yeah. Some of them are a bit messy.
Yeah. How has the washrooms been going in LA? And I know that's a general question, but I ask this because over here in Canada, let's say you want to travel to Vancouver or something. You can't use any washrooms in any gas station. You just have to kind of just like use the wilderness, right? What was that? Was the same thing in California when you were out and about?
Totally the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, I actually don't know. I've just been assuming now that no like public restrooms are really in use at Starbucks or whatever. And I'm sure at this point they are, but I've just still like gotten in my head, like they're not.
Yeah. Open. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's mm-hmm. just been, it's totally the same.
Yeah. And so how has life been like for you? Have you decided to like get into something new, or, cause I mean, it's been so long that like I gained weight, lost weight, gained weight and lost weight.
Same.
Again. So,
I like trained for a half marathon at the beginning of the pandemic. Yeah. And then stopped running altogether, gained 15 pounds. Yeah. Now I'm on a health kick again. Yeah. Like, it's been so long.
Yeah.
I was working on Curb Your Enthusiasm throughout most of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So because stand-up wasn't a thing, there were no shows.
Yeah.
I was really lucky that I had already had a job with Curb Your Enthusiasm before the pandemic, season
Great.
10.
Yeah.
So season 11 came back around July, and I was like, yeah, great. This is perfect.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was crazy working on, or just like working in production during the pandemic.
Right.
Every morning, 5 a.m., I got a COVID test, like the nose swab, KN95, 16 hours a day,
yeah.
like washing hands every minute. It was so intense.
Yeah.
But that just ended like last week. So right. I've had work throughout this time.
Yeah.
And now things are opening up, at least in the US. The tour that I was on with Christina P is now in full swing. So we have dates
nice.
Through January.
Nice. And I mean, that's crazy. I heard about, you know, I have friends that work in the entertainment, and they're just saying how crazy it is when COVID was happening, the measurements they had to go through. And that probably made working on a TV show, even as great as Curb Your Enthusiasm, kind of like stressful, I imagine,
oh my
to
gosh.
Begin with.
It honestly just made it longer days, because the days are already super long,
right?
But there would be different zones depending on who gets tested every day and who gets tested every other day and who gets tested once a week. So at any given time, like on set, okay, the lighters are going in and doing the lighting.
Yeah.
Everyone else has to be out. Okay, now they're leaving and the next group is coming in to do their thing.
Mm.
And it just made things longer.
Yeah.
Being able to do everything at once at the same time like it used to be. So
right.
It was brutal. The hours were really brutal.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that's so cool that you work on Curb Your Enthusiasm, because that shows like how people look at Seinfeld is like how people will look at, or they, that's how they look at the show, but eventually they will look back at the show as well. Maybe like 15 years and be like, that show is like Seinfeld, right?
Well, totally. And I, as like being in comedy, getting to watch these comedic geniuses,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just in heaven, because
yeah.
they every week is a different like A-list actor, and it's like Vince Vaughn and Fred Armisen and just like all these incredible, incredible people I've always idolized,
right.
and then I'm just working with them. It's been surreal.
And were you ever like, why am I here? How did I get here?
Yeah, because at some point it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
My sister is like, who are you working with today? I'm like, Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's been giving me advice on comedy, this and that. And then it's like, oh wait, that's really weird and bizarre and not normal. And I'm taking it for granted now, because it's like every day. But it,
yeah.
I have to remind myself how crazy that is.
Right. So was there any celebrities that, because you mentioned when you talked to Dr. Drew, you just spat out words. Was there any other people that on set that you're like, you just start?
Yeah. Well, Larry David.
Yeah.
I am. I'm so weird around him. And the poor guy, he puts up with me just not knowing how to have a conversation with him. And we have to interact, because I'll
right.
like be like, yeah. Larry,
yeah.
let's get you wired. Like, let's get you into hair and makeup,
yeah.
whatever it is.
Yeah.
I have to interact with him.
Yeah.
And I'm so awkward. And it's just, I think it's painful on both ends.
But yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like I'm that same way as well, especially if like I'm talking on the phone to someone. My partner's like, I can't listen to you talking on the phone. I just can't. You know, it's like that video where like the little kid's talking about a dream and he just keeps talking. Do you ever see that video? Yeah. She says, that's me on the phone. I was like,
yeah. Oh, I relate. Yeah. I don't do well in silence.
Yeah.
So if I say like, I would say things like, hey, Larry, how's the traffic?
Yeah.
And then maybe he didn't hear me. Yeah. Maybe he just didn't want to have a conversation. He wouldn't respond. And then I'm just walking in silence and I'm like, what? Okay. How do I fix? What do I say next? What do I say next? And it is so, I really need to work on just like calming down.
Right.
There can be silence. You don't have to be talking at every moment.
You're like, should I clear my throat? Is he going to hear that?
Yeah. Or I'll start like humming a tune or look at my phone like, oh yeah, like pretending I had other things going on.
Yeah.
Besides figuring out what to say next.
So we'll get on to we'll talk about how you started into comedy, but because it's your show, right? What song would you like me to play?
Oh my gosh. I am so glad you asked. Now, I'm not a big TikToker, I have to be honest.
Right.
But occasionally a trend will pop up and I'll be like, what is this song? It is so good. So I found the song Never Forget You from the Noisettes through TikTok, but it is so catchy and so cute and good. And I hope you like it because I love it.
Watch you drinking rum or whiskey. Now won't you have a double with me?
And we're back. Here we are with Chase. Hello. And live in Toronto, but on the interwebs.
I love it.
Yeah. And hopefully one day in person, right? Hopefully this will be a cool thing in person. Have you ever came to Ontario, Toronto?
No, I've been to Montreal several times.
Yeah, just for laughs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the only time, that's the only place I've been in Canada. and I would love to go to Toronto. So
yeah, it's like New York, but like a small, like a baby New York, right? And especially if you come during TIFF, like that's like a whole different, you'll just be like running it. Basically TIFF in the summer in Toronto is like California, because you'll be running it. Like you'll see a lot of like, even like A-list celebrities just like bumping into them. Yeah. So yeah, that'd be
a lot of TV out there.
Yeah, and we just got a Netflix studio as well, which is pretty cool. Ooh. I think it's the first of its kind, especially in North America as well. So I don't know if you're with Netflix, you might be coming here more frequently.
And we'll see. I mean, I'm not with Netflix at the moment, but
yeah,
one day.
So I mean, you are with HBO though, which is which is I think amazing. So we're talking about, you know, you're doing great for yourself now. You're with Christina P, which, you know, me and my partner, we watch Your Mom's House. And I should ask, have you watched their specials yet?
Their lives?
Yeah, they're very risque.
No, I saw Tina.
Yeah. With her tattoos.
And I've seen clips of it, but I have yet to see one of their lives, and now you can watch it. Like, they've taped them, and I'm going to watch the one that they've taped.
Yeah, you better go in with caution. It's very...
I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Yeah. I just get the best, like, whenever me and my partner watches this, she just, like, has the best reaction. I'm just, like, dying. I'm like, oh, my God. It's funny, but... it's also like very cringe. I'm like, there's people in the world that are actually like that, like on that show.
And they expose it. It's really great. Now we know. Mm-hmm. And Christina's TikToks, where I see like the wildest humans.
Like you saw on Dr. Drew's podcast, those cool people, the cool girls.
Cool girls.
Yeah, I still wonder what's going on with that girl who lost her teeth. I wonder if she's doing well for herself.
I bet she is.
Yeah.
I have a feeling she's doing great. If Dr. Drew wants to talk to her, she's doing great.
Yeah, I mean, that's a cool goal right there. I don't think anyone could get the chance to talk to him. But so, you know, you were on Christina P's. And how did you get to know her? How did that come to be, that relationship?
Through stand-up. I've seen her a lot at, like, the Comedy Store. And at Flappers, she was doing some shows there. And I opened for her there. And then she saw me, and then eventually we formed a touring relationship, because from there I opened for her more and more,
right.
And then she asked me to go on tour.
And what, like, it's weird from a perspective of, like, myself, where, like, I've watched them since day one. Like, I watched them before they had the cult following, right? Maybe like, even like while they're on Joe Rogan podcast, which I think was like a long time ago. Like,
yeah.
So I know. Yeah. So, and it's like my loyalty, right? I follow, you know, if I see someone come up, I like follow them throughout. Cause I like to see the progression of like, oh, like they took this path instead of that path. But, you know, what's it like working for her, or not for her, but with her, but also like, what are they like, Tom and Christina?
So working with Christina is amazing. She's like a big sister to me. She has completely taken me under her wing. It's truly like a nurturing, like, mama bear I've got.
Right.
Like, I truly call her mommy. and for those that don't know, that's what, her fans, they're all mommies.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's so sweet. After every show on the road, we'll go back to her hotel and have some wine and gossip.
Yeah.
And Tom, I've only met a couple times, like in person. He's always on the phone with Christina. He's so sweet. He's just such a good dad and husband, and they are couple goals. And when I met him, he was just... he's just an angel. Same thing. Like, I look up to them so much. So I just can't believe when I'm around them.
Yeah. And it's like funny because they're both comedians, right? You never really see like two comedians like getting married and things going well. Like,
I know they are the cutest couple in the world.
Yeah,
I think it's so sweet.
Maybe the only official comedian couple that's actually working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other ones.
It's because I think they both grew up very normal.
Yeah, of course.
Yes, they're celebrities now, but they weren't when they met, and they weren't growing up, and they like had to work for it and are very grounded and real people.
Yeah. And so is it hard? Like, I've never been to California, but even like as an entertainer, like I don't know what that's like, but is it hard, do you find, to find those connections with people, and not just find the connections, but take it as like, okay, they're for real, or like, you know, like kind of establish like a bond of sorts in California?
Well, I grew up here, so all my closest friends are from here. So I haven't had that issue, but whenever you're in a show with someone, and I grew up doing theater, so a lot of my friends now are like gaining a lot of success.
Right.
I've known them from like 10 years ago, and now they're on Broadway and Hamilton or Conan, and they're just like doing great things. But I was lucky that I formed these friendships when they weren't at that point, so like we were all on the same playing field, and like I gained super close friends, and you gain them even quicker being, I believe, in a show together, because you have to get so close and like really open up in front of each other. Now like the comics I'm meeting now, I don't know. Yeah, I do think like you just kind of hit a certain point too in your life where you're like, I already have my friends. Like,
right, yeah.
I don't need to make more friends. But then you aren't like becoming like BFFs with all these people you're meeting. So I think it's honestly just where you're at in your life if you're meeting people. But if they're already established and I'm meeting someone, yes, I'm not good at being buddy buddies with them. I put people on pedestals. So
have you ever like ran into someone who, you know, you kind of like watched and then you met them and just like, oh, I don't know about that person. You don't have to say their name, but has there ever been a situation like that? Cause I presume that something like that would come up where you'd be like, oh, like I can't wait. Or like you watch your specials and then
you think they're going to be really sweet and then they're not.
Or even if they're like cringy, you know, just try and hit on you. You're like, oh.
Ooh, yeah. There hasn't been, I think I must give off this vibe that guys don't hit on me. but there has been like definitely that. Not many. Most people are actually really nice, but where they're like super terrible.
You're like something's off about them. I can't quite put my finger on it.
Not many though. Really?
Right.
Not many.
Right. And so, yeah, you mentioned Broadway, and you had a Broadway show back in the day, Two Blondes Broadway.
Mm-hmm. It was off Broadway, but I'll let you say Broadway. That sounds
great. Yes. And you won an award for that.
Yeah.
So what was that like putting that together, and also, be on Broadway? Because I feel like that's intense. That's another type of feeling on its own.
I went to college for theater, and our senior year, they had us write a one-person show and perform it. So I had, after college, I was in this production called Inappropriate the Musical. And that, it was in LA, and they took it off Broadway. So the whole cast, we moved to New York. And then once that closed, it's really hard being just like an actor and not having work and just
right.
So my whole thing always, which is why like stand-up has always been a part of my life, is because you don't have to audition for it, you can just do it, and nobody can stop you. So the show that I had done in college was pretty much the like seed that the two-person show turned into, and we ended up getting it off Broadway as well. And yeah, we got a New York Times review and a Broadway World Award, and it was really cool doing that. So yeah, a lot of everything I've done pretty much has just been something I've created.
Yeah. And like, would you hope to go back to that one day?
Yeah, I feel like we've always said, like, even in our 90s, we can perform it. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that probably is a whole different type of ball game compared to, like, you know, working on set or something, right? Because you still, I don't know, I've never myself, but I've known people who worked, you know, in theater, and I've known how, like, intense it can get sometimes as well.
Yeah, I think it's harder for sure than TV, as long as the hours are in TV. The theater, you're just doing it all yourself. You're getting the people in the seats at the theater every week. Like, it's, I mean, I guess you're not doing it by yourself if you have a team of people, but we were doing it by ourselves, and it's a lot of work.
Yeah. And so, and then now you have a podcast called Generation Gap. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that's a pretty cool concept, right? Because it's like, you know, I always forget what we're called,
millennials.
No. Yeah. So it's basically a conversation about, you know, millennials and, you know, Gen Zs or whatever, either whatever the
Gen X,
boomers, all those. So, I mean, this is, what's it like working on a podcast? And because I feel like as a comedian, it's at least if you're on a podcast, I feel like maybe it's kind of the same platform, but you know, if you use your hands a lot, maybe not, but you know,
you mean, is it the same as theater or stand-up?
No, stand-up, like stand-up and doing a podcast. Like, I feel like a lot of stand-up comedians.
Yes.
So far have gone into podcasts while what's going on.
Yeah,
here.
I've done so many podcasts. I was doing the National Lampoon podcast. Hmm. I did a podcast, a Two Blondes podcast that I did during the Two Blondes show, and then Generation Gab, and I had an improv podcast. So I was podcasting before I feel like everyone started podcasting.
Yeah.
I've always loved podcasts, but it does feel like now if you're a comedian and don't have a podcast, it's like, are you a comedian really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
I think it's just another way to again, just do it yourself without relying on someone to say, we want you. You just do it. And that's great with podcasts. You can just make them happen.
And it's interesting because they're all like, there's so many podcasts. I'm pretty sure Joe Rogan said there was like 2 million podcasts or something like that. And I think it comes down to like, how do you make your podcast stand out, right? Because I'm sure someone in Bangladesh has the same idea that, you know, someone in the US would have, right? I mean,
totally. And that is the question. Mm. If only I knew. I think it is a full-time job getting your podcast promoted. And unfortunately, like, I have too many full-time jobs. I can't do that too. So I think you have to hire like a PR team. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
and I'm sure somewhere in Bangladesh someone's doing exactly what we're doing. It's called I'm Everything, and it's the same conversation happening.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go to the second song. What would you like it to be?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked. This second song, believe it or not, I also found it on TikTok. I'm so sorry, I'm just on TikTok.
I feel it.
This one, it's so cute. This is also a really cute song. It's called Space Girl by Francis Forever. Have you heard of it?
No, I have not.
Okay, you're in for a treat.
I'm in. I'm buckled in.
Okay.
Make me cry. If you haven't already, you really need to check out the Crummy Cookie Dough Company. They're in Uptown Waterloo, but you can get their stuff on DoorDash, Skip the Dishes, Uber Eats, and through their website at the Crummy, that's C-R-U-M-B-Y, Cookie Dough Co.com. What are they? Well, it's funny you ask. They're a raw cookie dough company. You could eat them raw, or you could cook them. But it's always responsible ingredients you recognize and respect. Ran by two powerful women that just love the feel of 1960s vintage and 90s hip hop is totally awesome. So cool. So go check them out. Wonderful women, and you'll love it just as much as I love it too.
All right, and we're back, and I'm buckled in. I'm going to space, baby.
Yeah.
SpaceX, going to Mars. You hear Elon Musk, he said, like, whenever people go to Mars the first time, they're probably going to die right away, those first group of people. I was like, cool. So,
he was like, yes, I've heard that, but he was like, there's going to be a few people that are willing to die that way.
Yeah.
And I believe him. I wouldn't want to do it, but yeah, there are people that'll be like, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, they're going to die. They're going to die with a pack. They're going to make a pack and be like, you know what? We're going to die in space, but God damn it, we're doing it.
I mean, how crazy would that be?
I know.
It would be quite the experience.
Yeah, I think they'd be the first. I don't know. Has anyone ever died in space on record?
Yeah, because all those like space shuttles that haven't made it.
Yeah, true. Maybe. And you just see bodies floating around. Because what do they do with the bodies when they're like in space?
Millions of pieces.
And then those become people eventually.
Yeah.
Little particles.
In that air. Yeah.
Yeah. welcome to the Space Podcast. I'm here. I'm
an expert in space, clearly.
Yes. So we're going to do a segment here. It's called Tinder Talks, right?
Ooh.
It's your poor man's TED Talk, okay?
Okay. I love this.
Yes. Eventually, I'm going to get it off the ground as a podcast. And okay. I just have Gaston. We talk about Tinder Talks. Their worst Tinder Talks, their worst Tinder dates, and I even Bumble dates. And you know, I don't want to be biased. The other ones as well. But Tinder Talks just has that, like, oomph, you know.
It has a ring to it.
Yeah, it looks like TED Talk, the logo, but it's, you know. And
the poor man's TED Talk.
Yes. And so, Tinder Talks here. Because why I bring this up is, you know, I've heard you on podcasts and you've talked about, like, certain things that you wouldn't date a guy, like, if you know they presented these certain attributes,
my game.
Yes. And it kind of got me thinking. I was like, you know what, maybe
it's called deal breaker.
Yes. And usually a deal breaker is in these Tinder Talks.
Perfect.
More than likely. So I could start, but basically, you know, I'll tell you my Tinder Talks just to make you feel comfortable, you know. Great. So, you know, I met this girl on Tinder. This was like when Tinder was very brand new, right? Mm-hmm. So like we go to her house and she tells me that she's married and that, you know, her husband is not going to be home, right? And I was like, okay, she just dropped it on me like that. And come to find out that her husband comes in, right? But he's saying like, oh, like he's not nice to me. He's like, you know, he's rude and all that. He doesn't appreciate her. So he's in a wheelchair, right? And I was like, and she's like, come on, go upstairs. Hurry, go upstairs. You can't go upstairs. You can't get up the stairs.
Oh my God.
Like, oh, so I just like hung up upstairs until he went to sleep or something. And I dipped out. And I was
My God.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's a little tidbit of Tinder Talks.
That might be the best Tinder Talk I've ever heard.
Yeah. And so that was interesting because at one point I thought that he was just like gonna go up the stairs with his elbows. But
would you have jumped out the window if it came to that?
I feel like I could jump over him. Do like a quick like 1-2 football.
What would you have said? We've been like, oh, what am I doing here? What's this?
Or like, sleepwalking. I'm sleepwalking. That's what I would say. But it didn't come to that. But I was, Yeah, she dropped it on me one, two. She's like, yeah, I have a husband and he's in a wheelchair, but don't worry, because he's not gonna get you. Yeah, he's a pretty slow wheelchair driver. Yeah.
Oh boy.
So that's my tale. Do you, if you don't have a tale, maybe you could say something. Your deal breakers.
I have a tale.
Yeah.
A tale. Yeah. Now, does it count if I didn't meet him on Tinder?
It's fine. We'll just we won't tell Tinder that.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is my notorious dating story.
Yeah.
I went on a date with this guy, and actually this was back in like 2014. So I want to say like Uber and Lyft hadn't yet been invented or just like wasn't being used.
Right.
Still taxis. Okay.
Damn.
So that's very important to the story. I went on a date with this guy and he knew I liked comedy. And we went to this comedy show and it was fun and great. And then he's like, I've got this great place you're going to love. Like, I'm going to take you there. And I was like, okay, cool. We get in the taxi and we pull up to a strip club.
Ooh.
That's the great place he wanted to take me to. That I
number one. Love. Number one.
And I don't know if you know this about me, but I do not love strip clubs. That isn't where I frequent. But I was trying to like... I don't know, impress the guy. I was like, oh my God, like I love strip clubs. Like great choice. Like just trying to be like, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, love this. Oh, so anyways, we like sit down and watch the show and then he goes off and for who knows how long, I like see him making out with a stripper. And I am just sitting alone. By the way, I'm 23. I look like I'm probably 18. And
right.
I'm just sitting in the front row watching these women strip. And the stripper literally was like, I'm so sorry. And she apologized as she was like doing her thing. Yeah. I was truly, I think, the only one in the seats watching. And finally, and by the way, this is why I say there wasn't Uber or Lyft, because I felt kind of stuck. Like, I felt like I couldn't leave. It was like midnight, 1 a.m., and I just like didn't know where I was. Like, yeah. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he came back and he was like, I don't know, at some point he came back and I was like, oh, you were making out with a stripper. Ha ha. And he was like, no, I wasn't. And I was like, oh, I saw you. And he was like, no. Anyways, that's the story. Isn't that a terrible date?
That's interesting. And the stripper was like she's doing her job. She's like, I'm sorry for you.
The stripper felt so bad for me.
Yeah.
I was just this like little girl watching the show. And the guy wasn't even there with me. He went off with the stripper.
And it turned out that he ended up working for 2.5 Men. Was that the... No.
Not him.
Yeah. That's cringy though. I feel like...
Is that a good Tinder talk?
Yeah, that's a good Tinder talk. That's a good one to...
No, it's pretty good.
And I actually, you know what? I might use that little snippet for whenever... The pilot, you know, when they take like... They make the pilot and years later they actually make the show.
Ooh,
but no.
Okay.
I appreciate you sharing that with us. And so... We're gonna keep going on, and this is gonna be momentum. So we're gonna do. I'm just gonna ask rapid fire questions. I'm just gonna just go with the shots. All right.
I love rapid fire questions.
Rapid fire. So, if your name wasn't Chase, what would you want it to be?
Allie.
Nice. Favorite TV show.
Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
I didn't see that one come in there. Favorite movie.
Legally Blonde.
Legally Blonde.
Wait, can I change my answer?
Yes.
Sweet Life of Zach and Cody was, in fact, my favorite show for years and years and years. But right now, I'm binging Search Party on HBO Max, and I love it. Okay.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
Key to happiness.
Chilling out.
Yeah, chilling out.
Chilling out, calming down.
Chilling like a villain.
Yeah, like, yeah, meditate. I don't know, calm down.
Pet peeve.
Oh, when the food is in front of you, but you can't eat it yet because the host hasn't sat down and the host doesn't sit down for like 10 minutes and you're like, yeah. Oh, I just want to eat the food. Sit down, host.
I didn't even know that was the thing. I just eat. I just don't even...
If it's like polite manners to wait for the person that made the meal to sit down. Yeah. And so like, I try to do that.
Yeah.
It's a pet peeve of mine when they take too long.
Too nice. Yeah. You just got to go in for it. And they're like, that girl's a savage. She does not care.
I'm hungry. Yeah. I got to just.
What's a hidden talent about yourself that not many people know?
Oh, I'm really good at ballet. I did ballet for 17 years. And
yeah.
Trained with Pacific Northwest Ballet and State Street Ballet, and people don't know that about me now. Like growing up, people knew, but it's always a surprise for people to learn I'm a ballerina.
Nice. So you're are your feet flat? Do you have flat feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, and your toes are nice.
Those are all messed up.
Yeah, that's that's intense right there. That's
I started when I was 10 on point.
I watched Black Swan and I was like, my feet hurt just watching that movie.
Oh yeah, that was my life for
favorite venue and city.
Zany's Nashville.
And if you could change anything about the world, what would you want to change?
People.
Yeah.
I'd say people have kind of messed up the world. I feel like the world so like in sync and beautiful, and then people just come in and mess it all up.
Right. Yeah, I agree for sure. And favorite outfit?
Jeans and a big white t-shirt.
Nice, going simple. Uh-huh. And lastly, 2021 goals.
Ooh. To run a half, no, to, yeah. To run a half marathon.
You know what? I was thinking about the marathon conversation. So, you know, if someone's a runner, I discussed this before, but if you're a runner, right, and you want to just get into like a marathon, you know, like I'm sure you know, but not many people know, you got to like train for it, right? So it's like, I use the comparison of like writing a novel, right? So you can write like blog posts here and there, but writing a novel is like running a marathon. You essentially got to write short novels at a time.
That's so true.
Yeah, so anyone out there want to run a marathon, you just got to run 1k for maybe 6 months, and then 5k, and then eventually get to 50k. And I could never run 50k, so I applaud you if ever you do that. That's
well, that's why I went to half marathon.
Right,
because the full marathon,
yeah, I just contemplate my life when I'm at 2K. I'm just like, what am I doing with my life? How'd I go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, I went on a 2-mile run this morning and I was a wreck. So it's fun for me to say half marathon, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So last song, what would you like it to be?
Okay, I'm ready. So this is just a feel good. We're going to end on a feel good, fun, lovely, chill out song. It is Cruisin' by Smokey Robinson.
I love that jam. And you know, before we take off, last few words to the audience, to the guests, to Ontario, maybe any pitch, any maybe social medias, anything at all.
Hey guys, thank you. Thanks for listening. This was a lot of fun. And yeah, if you want to keep up with me, my Instagram is Chase_O'Donnell, and I kind of post everything there, so you'll know what's up.
Yeah. Baby, let's cruise away from here. Don't be confused. The way is clear. Let the music take your mind. Ooh.
This show was brought to you by the amazing Crummy Cookie Dough Company. Check them out in Uptown Waterloo. Great raw cookie dough with ingredients you recognize and respect.